The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Call yourselves Title Town? Are you kidding me?
That's fraud.
It feels like a gray area.
Spoiler alert, Canada. Cup's coming back to the U.S. of A.
There's way too much negative stigma attached to strippers.
I hate you guys so much.
My dog just shit his ass.
Hey, everybody, it's Tuesday. I want to start this show by trying to figure out who had the worst sports weekend, because it was a rough weekend for some of the fellas here on the show. All right, so first nominee for worst sports weekend, obviously me with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish falling a yard short to Ohio State. 10 men on the field. We'll talk about this game later, but that was crushing. Bush push 2.0 levels. Bad Saturday for me. Second nominee, Caesar, for his Cowboys getting beat by the tanking Cardinals. That's not a good look. That's really bad. Like, the team that is actively trying to lose games beats your team. That's a rough weekend, everybody. That's a really bad nominee. I don't know if it's as bad as that Notre Dame loss, but it's pretty bad. And final nominee for worst sports weekend has to go to Scott, who got duped into coaching his kid's Little League game in baseball pants. That's a rough weekend, dude. You had to coach a Little League game in baseball pants. Brutal. Brutal, man.
Okay, does it make it worse or better if I tell you me and one of the other coaches were like all in on it? First game, he bailed. We won. I'm like, well, I guess I'm riding this out. So I actually did it voluntarily. Like, I was in. I'm like, baseball, fuck yeah. I don't get to – my fucking ass don't get to wear them. I didn't get to play this year. So I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm in. Let's do it. And yeah.
You got the high socks.
There's only one way to roll, dude. There's only one way to roll.
That's an official coach right there, my man.
Game at three, baby. Game at three.
And honestly, it does make it worse that they bailed, because I just picked up the coaches being like, yeah, no, Scott, we totally should wear baseball. We'll all do it. You guys
No. This was straight like, yeah, man, I'm not doing my homework either. Fuck yeah. If we don't do it, she can't fail us all. Fuck yeah. Bitch, you did your homework? Fuck, man. All right, everybody, turn in your homework. Fuck me. Like, all right, well, this is what it is. I'm just going to wear this one now. Like, nothing I could do. I'm the only one who showed up in baseball pants and socks.
I'm just the guy who's coaching 7 and 8 year olds in baseball pants. That's my lot in life, everybody. Sarah with the correct take, by the way. High socks are the correct option. Can't go long pants. That's true.
Absolutely. High socks are the only way. Look, you see any of my kids playing baseball photos? Yeah. They will not have low socks. It will always be high socks.
High socks, short pants are the way to go if you got to wear baseball pants. But
absolutely.
Generally, if you're coaching the 7-year-olds,
look. Major league coaches wear their uniforms. And so, you know, I gotta ride with the team, man. I gotta ride with the team.
When I saw the picture, I fully expected you to have the button-down uniform too, like full on, hat, everything in uniform, can of dip in the back pocket, just
ready to go.
If hey, needed. Man, it's good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. I love getting ambushed. I did not see that one coming. You loaded up fairly early. I'm just like, how could we didn't all have a bad weekend? Like, I know. Was fucking fine.
That's why when I thought about the weekend, I was like, all right, well, obviously my weekend sucked. And then I saw what happened to Caesar. I was like, my man's weekend sucked too. It's like, what happened with Scott? The Braves lost, but who cares, because they've already clinched and Acuna's got 40 home runs and 60 stolen bases. I can't rag on him on that. Oh, look at that. The Niners are just dominant. What the hell can I get? Oh, he wore baseball pants. Yep, got him.
I love how that thought process went through. Accepted. Accepted. Received and accepted.
Caesar will be joining us in at some point. He's helping old grandpa out right now, so he'll be joining us. We got an awesome show tonight. We are going to talk pretty much all football, right? We got to talk about this halftime show. Usher named the Super Bowl halftime show, so we got to get into that. We got to talk about Mike McDaniels putting up 70 on the Broncos. Like, holy shit, man, is Miami for real at this point? I'm kind of nervous about that. Plus, Scott, the A's had maybe the most tone-deaf thing.
It's great. It was so on brand. It was so on brand. So very, very on brand. I loved it.
We will talk about that. Before we do, though, let's get into these beers that we're drinking. We'll rate them on the scale. As always, would you bang your beer? Scott, you're on the pumpkin beer journey. What's the pumpkin beer tonight? Would you bang it?
This week, I'm going with Heavy Seas Beer Company's The Greater Pumpkin. It is a pumpkin ale brewed with pumpkin spices in bourbon barrels. 10%er, got a little vanilla, oak, pumpkin, all the good shit. I would absolutely bang this beer, 100%. And if I was going to rate it on a 1 to 10, I'd give it 11. Absolutely. The perfect number of things that you want to have is 11. 11 is the key number that I would go with if I was going to say rate a beer or put men on the field. Either way, I would bang this beer. Definitely a good one.
I didn't catch it at first. And then I caught it. And then I got really mad.
I got mad that I had that pre-planned before you got me with the picture. And I was like, this motherfucker got me before I was gonna get him. He didn't even know I was gonna get him, and he leapfrogged me. That son of a bitch.
That's the joy of being the one that opens the show. You get first crack. You get first crack if you're the one that opens the show, man. I'm sorry.
Well done, but I was like, damn, it's not often that I get jumped on it. Well played by you, sir. Well played.
Listen, Scott, I'm just lashing out, okay? That's all this is. It's my pain. I'm putting it on everybody. I yelled at my wife this weekend. I yelled at my kids. It's been a terrible weekend. You were the latest victim. I'm sorry. I'm not normally like this, okay? Blame Ryan Day. Blame Lou Holtz. I don't care. Just blame not me, because I'm not the one who only sent 10 guys out on the field.
Gabe's not happy with me.
Yeah, Gabe hit you with the damn it, Scott. Matt Barr loves it, though, with the Scott plus 1,000.
It's actually
Gabe's
10,
drinking Fear Movie Lions by Stone Brewing Company. We've had that one before on the show, right, Scott?
Yeah, I was just going to say. We've at least had a couple of Stone Brewing Company beers.
Yeah, I think we did have this one for that same for the same reason that Gabe mentions. He said the can emphasizes FML, which is what I was saying leaving the stadium. It's a hazy double IPA, 0.5% ABV. He said he's banging. Matt is drinking a double Murder Hornet, double hazy New England IPA, 9% ABV from Strange Ways Brewing. That sounds amazing. I'd approach her at a bar and get ignored way out of my way.
Honesty is the key to these beer ratings.
I was going to say, that's the first truly honest beer rating we've gotten from the comment section. Sarah said she's drinking Mayday Brewery Boro Blonde Ale, 4.8%. Not too shabby for a blonde, and clearly Blonde Kong has more fun. All right. Okay, Canar posted on the page, so we got to go check that out. We got to go see the Canar from that one. Poor Whitey is drinking 1776 bourbon because everything at work is on fire, and this is the only thing that can put it out. Godspeed to you, Whitey. Good luck. That sounds terrible. Rex is drinking a Founders Oktoberfest, 6%. Very good. Very bangable. Thank you, Sarah, for the Reds update. Reds are up 8-7 right now. That means they will probably blow that lead and lose that 114-8. All right. I am drinking the Pirates,
were
dude.
Were they up 9-0?
Bad weekend. It's a bad sports weekend.
I was just going to say, I didn't see any of the Irish game, but I knew about the Pirates. I was at the game on Friday night, but Friday night, the Reds just blew it. They didn't epically blow it like they did on Saturday night.
I saw a stat that the Pirates were 0-508 when they were trailing by 9 runs until that game. Like, I don't even know if it's true, but it sounds true, and that hurt so bad. Like, it was awful.
509 day. Times of being down 9-0. That's a lot of times. Like, I know, but shit. Like, even in all of their existence, like, wow, damn, guys.
It's pretty rough. Damn. In honor of the Bengals redeeming my weekend somewhat, it was an ugly game. It was an awful game, but at least they won and Joe Burrow didn't get scraped off the field like I thought he was going to. I'm drinking a Cheetah Lager from Ryan Geist with the Bengals can art. It's a little lager, like 4.8%. It's solid. Hey, the lights are on and you got nobody. I got nobody. Cool. Let's go hang out or whatever and see. Handy school folks. Let us know in the comments what you guys are drinking, whether or not you would bang your beer. Handy's in the parking lot, right? I'm not going to turn down Handy in the parking lot.
Right? I have a Handy in the parking lot with myself all the time. Anyway, no judgment here. I roll up like a motherfucking soldier to outside of Target. That's a deep cut.
He's taking right too there. Long in there. That dollar bin is distracting. What am I supposed to do? How else am I supposed to pass the time?
What a great moment. What a great reasoning. Sir, what are you doing? I was bored. Oh, shit.
Sir, you can't do that in this parking lot. Do what?
Oh my god. Good shit.
We can't even blame this on Caesar and Mookie. They're not even here.
Yeah, I know, man. We just totally derailed the shit out of it.
Let's talk football. All right, I want to get it out of the way. We'll talk about it now. Get it out of the way. Drink my tears. Enjoy my pain, whatever. But that game was gutting, Scott. I know you didn't watch any of the Notre Dame-Ohio State game. First half was boring as shit. Second half finally got a little bit exciting. Ohio State broke off a long run, and literally it's like the second possession of the second half. Ohio State gets the ball and goes right down and scores, and I get a text. That's when they all start coming. This one's over. Ball game. It's over. It's done. I've seen this before. Like, God damn it. There is literally 15 minutes plus another 14 minutes and 36 seconds to go. Are we fucking kidding me? So I'm in a bad mood already because that happened. And the text flowed in. Then Notre Dame makes a comeback. They start looking decent. They're making stops. And then Ohio State gets the ball with like a minute some to go. And the techs start coming back in. I know how this one ends. I've seen this story before. Get ready. You know how this one's going to go down. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. One time. It just needs to happen one time. And the whole time, like throughout the whole series, it's 3rd and 9. It's 3rd and 2. It's 4th and 6. And I'm on the edge of my seat just going one fucking stop. Just one stop. One stop, please. And they never got the stop. I was broken, Scott. It was so bad when Ohio State scored that touchdown. I like the TV's obviously playing. I don't say a word. My wife is next to me on the couch. She gets up. She grabs the bourbon off the table. She pours more bourbon in my glass and she goes, "I'm so sorry." And then walked out of the room. It was awful.
God damn. Holy shit.
Like,
it's bad when your wife knows, like, ooh, that had to hurt.
Crushing. It was so crushing. And it really was like Bush push 2.0 all over again. There was a fourth down that Ohio State converted, that an interception went through the kid's hands from Notre Dame, just like in 2005 when Ambrose Wooden almost knocked one down on the sidelines and was an inch away, and instead it broke a huge gain that set up Leinart to score the touchdown. I just can't fucking believe that it happened again, and I can't believe that it happened again in green jerseys at night in South Bend. This is awful, man.
What a horrible, like, way to just relive. Yeah. But yeah, well, just reliving the whole thing. Like, oh God. Ugh.
It was brutal. It sucked. I hated life. I didn't even watch football on Sunday because I needed to take a break from it. That's how bad it hurt.
The Bengals weren't playing anyway, so it was easy for you not to watch football after.
Even if the Bengals were playing.
No, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I would have taken a day off too, but I mean, it was all easy to be like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to take the day off.
It was
I took Sunday off too. Niners played on Thursday, so I took Sunday off. It's like, you've earned it. You wore baseball pants this weekend. Go ahead and take Sunday off.
It was just one of those games that you felt like maybe this was finally Notre Dame breaking through and earning a little respect as being like supposed to be in the conversation, and instead Marcus Freeman sends 10 guys out onto the field out of a timeout twice. He sent 10 guys out there,
dude.
And his excuse was, well, you don't want to get the penalty. And I'm like, why not? He later clarified, and his clarification made sense, because he said they don't stop the play if you're just offsides. Like, you've got to touch somebody, and we couldn't get a signal in quick enough to get somebody to touch somebody to stop the play to get somebody out. That made sense. But initially, his post-game interview where he was like, well, we didn't want to get the penalty. It's like, bro, that's the wrong thing to say. And then you get Ryan Day. Gabe nominated him on Twitter for Motherfucker of the Week, because after the game, Ryan Day comes out all hoarse and squeaky voiced, calling out Lou Holtz and his 87-year-old ass. And he's like, I just want to know, where's Lou Holtz right now?
Oh my God.
Did you see that whole exchange? Like, anything leading up to the game with Lou Holtz?
No, I just heard about it. I didn't think much of it when it happened. But I did hear about it prior to like the game. I heard like, oh yeah, Lou Holtz picked, you know, but all I kept thinking about after hearing about the Ryan Day thing was like, was the head coach really like watching College Game Day, like before his game, like looking for shit, like looking to see who the analysts are going to pick so he can fucking make a shit list? Like, really? Is that what we're fucking doing?
That's the best part about it. It wasn't even like it was game day. It was a couple of days ago. Holtz was on the Pat McAfee show. There was a guy in a Lou Holtz mask interviewing Lou Holtz, doing a Lou Holtz impression to Lou Holtz's face. So it's obviously like just dumb bullshit. Yeah. Like it's
Kraft Food Sports on,
yes,
on national TV
with a budget. Yeah.
Kraft Food Sports. Yeah. There you go.
But he interviewed Holtz, and Holtz said that Ohio State isn't very tough. He called him out for losing to Alabama, losing to Michigan the last 2 years, losing to Georgia. And he said they're not I think his exact quote was, they're just not that tough. Ohio State just isn't that, they're not physical like other teams are. And Ryan Day clearly took exception to that and called him out after the game. Was like, I just want to know, where's Lou Holtz? It's Ohio against the world. I'm like, God damn it, you piece of shit.
Good times, man. Good times. Got to make sure you play that card, the Lonely Hearts Club card. God damn. Yeah, because nobody supports Ohio State. The little engine that could. Went into South Bend.
The school where the NCAA changed the rules so that they could get into the playoffs. Nobody's. It's a Ohio against the world, man. This is, where's Lou Holtz? There's a user on Reddit that came out with the stat that I thought was absolutely amazing. He said Ryan Day was more likely to mention toughness or physicality in his post-game interview than Ohio State was to convert 1 yard versus Notre Dame. So he broke it all down. There was 31 sentences in Day's post-game press interview or post-game interview. Sentences that mentioned toughness or physicality, 8. So that's a percentage of 25.8%. Plays where Ohio State needed 1 yard to gain a first down or a touchdown, 8 plays. Plays that were successful, 2. That's a 25%. So it was 0.8% more likely that he mentioned toughness or physicality. And then the guy threw in, just to throw some more fucking salt in the wound. For fun, here are the same stats for when Ohio State didn't have 10% more players on the field. Plays 6, success is 1, percentage 16.7%.
I love when math comes in with the humor. Like, I love when math like proves just funny random shit. Like, that's the only need for math, I feel like. Like, fuck math and any other walk of life, but to prove people wrong and show ridiculous stats, I'm here for the math.
I just love somebody sat there and figured that all out. Did you feel any sort of way after that Notre Dame game? Like, because listen, here's the other thing that drives me crazy. Whenever Notre Dame loses a gut-wrenching game like that, not only are the texts coming from my friends and family throughout the game of doom and gloom and this is over and it's going to end, but then after the game, I start to get those texts, Scott. The text from the people...
The text I used to send?
No, not even that. The text from the people who the last time I've gotten a text from them was when their team beat Notre Dame. Haven't heard from you in over a year. Not a happy birthday, not, hey, how's the wife and kids? It's the texts that are like... Haha, how's that feel? Or, oh, suck it, Irish. Or, yeah, I told you guys weren't relevant. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
I love those people. Those people are the best. They never otherwise speak to you until some moment like that when they know you're watching. The best is when you haven't even thought about that person enough to think, oh, if this doesn't go my way, I'm going to hear from such and such. I sure hope I don't have to deal with that. And what comes in, you're just like, of all the motherfucking people who text me, this fucking guy wants to come out of the woodwork. Then usually follows it up with, so man, how's it going? How have you been? Like, no. You don't get to fucking just show back up talking shit and then think we're going to have a conversation. No. Fuck you. Fuck your intentions. Fuck all of it. I've played this game before. Get out of here. Go. No, I don't want to speak to you again until my team wins and I can come in hot to your fucking phone pulling the same shit. Get the fuck out of my face.
That's the problem. I won't even remember. Like, I would be too excited.
Oh, I'm petty. I mentally jot that shit down. that would not be forgotten. Oh, I would be ready. I beat Shitty in our fantasy baseball championship. I was ready. I came with the petty. He tried to play the, I wouldn't expect Kaiser to win with grace. I'm like, nor should you. Not when you came in here hot talking shit on Sunday night about how you were going to beat me. No, sir. I had receipts.
See, that's different, though. If he comes in talking shit, then by all means, talk shit when you win.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
That's not a problem. But if you guys hadn't said a word to each other all season long, and then at the end you're dancing on his grave, nah, that's some cold shit, man. That's some cold shit.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Sarah said, well, shit.
See, Sarah knows. Sarah knows. Yeah, he was bitter.
Matt Barr hit me with I called for help twice, not a fuck you or nothing. Tiger King, Mike Berlon on game day text.
Oh my God.
Gabe said he was waiting for text, but thankfully nothing. And then Sarah is on team text. All right, now we got to know. I got to know. Are you team text? A random person that you kind of are an acquaintance with to talk shit after your team beats them. She said, nothing's better than throwing salt in a wound that you have zero investment in and walk away. That's brutal that she phrased it that way. Cause one of the texts I got was from my cousin. Like, that sucks, man.
I feel like I used to do that. Like, I mean, we were friendly in college or whatever. But we weren't like texting buddies or anything. Like we always talk and hung out and passing and everything, but we weren't like that close to be texting. But I made sure I text your ass if something happened. And like when you guys were anti playoffs or anything like that, I came out of the woodwork. And then it'd be like, the worst is you don't even give a fuck. It's like, yeah, that's right. I don't.
You know what sucked? And it wasn't even a text. You would tag me in something on Facebook. It was like a glancing blow. Like, not even worth the text. I'm gonna tag you and dude, now that you say that, I fucking remember it now, because it would be when Notre Dame would lose, you would tag me in a post that was like, well, Mike Burlon, at least you don't have to worry about the rest of this season now. And that was it. And I hated it so much.
Yeah. I mean, I understood.
Shit out until right now. You just brought that memory back up.
Well, that's why I said you. Yeah, I tried to throw it back out there and you were like, no, not like you. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I did that, though. It's just been a while. I don't do it now.
I don't do it now because I've seen you go through. I feel sorry for you at this point. I'm not going to do it.
I mean, there's probably other, like, I've gotten to know you more. Like, it's like, oh, like, yeah, he's in Notre Dame, but he's like a suffering Notre Dame fan. Like, you're not one of the blowhards and the ass hats that I like. You're gentle Notre Dame, you're realistic, you know? Like, it's like, oh, I'm not gonna like fucking like, I just, am I happy that they lost? Yeah, I'm happy they lost, but I'm not gonna rub it in your face because I'm like, nah, I mean, he knows the struggle. Like, I can't do that to you, man.
Now, Scott, am I ever going to have a team that just delivers for me? Or am I just the fan that is fucking cursed? Like, I feel like I fucked the daughter of some sports god and I'm getting their vengeance taken out on me. Like, that's what it feels like, because everything just rips my heart out of my chest. It hurts, man.
It's like, we'll give you this wife that will know when to give you bourbon in your time of need. There will be lots of times of need, so that's the trade-off. Like, I mean, it could be worse, right? Like, you could suffer all these horrible defeats, and then you could have a wife who was like a USC fan or something. Like, she could be a fan and just like have no sympathy at all. Like, yeah, fuck you. Like, deal with it, sucker. Like, I mean,
I wouldn't marry somebody who was a USC fan. I'd be like, deal breaker. Deal breaker. Sorry, listen. If we were on MTV's Next and she came out wearing a USC sweatshirt, I'd be like, next, and she'd go right back in that fucking bus.
What a fantastic reference. That show was so awesome. They need to bring that back. They need to bring back Next. I need to judge people within 2 seconds of knowing them. What a great way to fuck people's self-esteem.
It was always the best, too, because the guys would be in the bus. They'd be like, all right, fellas, get ready for this show. And they'd walk off the bus and they'd be like, I'm Tyler, I play lacrosse, I got this down. And then they'd walk up to the girl and she'd be like, next. And they'd have to turn tail and fucking walk back to the bus. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, you suck, man. Oh, great show. Great show.
I miss the real shitty ass MTV game shows, man. What a time to be alive.
Room Raiders is
yes, yes, dude, yes, man. Look at this bitch. She's got a Twix wrapper in the middle of the floor. Fuck this hoe. Can't be with nobody this messy. Like, you know what they would jump to? They would jump to conclusion. It's like, oh, there's a Twix wrapper in a trash can. She's probably fat. Like, I don't know. I'm good. Like, they would say real fucked up things. I'm like, yes, get the real thing out here.
Whenever it was the girl checking the rooms, you always knew she was going to be like, okay, now it's time for the black light. And it'd be like, oh, no, there's semen everywhere. God, no.
Yeah, well, I mean, what did you expect? Oh, we're going into a college dorm room. Oh, we're going into a college house. Like, it's just semen. Like, duh. keep the black light at home. Like, if you're James Bond and you could only carry so many gadgets, it'd be like, I'm not going to need the black light for this mission. I'm 100% sure that there's semen everywhere, okay? Like, I'm going to take another possibly useful tool to go into this excursion.
We're operating under the assumption that there is semen covering several
right, yeah. Like, I don't need to see how gross this room is. I know there's probably semen covering it. It generally looks clean, though, so I'm going to give them a pass. Like, if I go in with the assumption that all rooms are covered in jizz... then they're all on an even footing. Like, I gotta judge them off something else, right?
Oh, man. It's like Mookie and Caesar are here. Robert said I need to accept it because I'm from Ohio. I just have shitty teams.
Damn.
That's a blunt thing, and I mean... He ain't wrong. Like, I can't dispute that in any way. Sarah saying the degree of effect is important too. Scott's right. Mike is a suffering fan, and his self-imposed punishment is more than I could give.
Yeah.
But like, I have a Cleveland loving uncle who throws hats when they don't do well on a Thursday. I'm rubbing that shit in constantly.
Right. I mean, like, I never stop needling my brother when the Cowboys fuck up because they're assholes. Like, they're never humble. They're never suffering. They never look in the mirror and examine how they've been for the last 20 some years of just losing. Like,
it's insane, man.
Yeah. It's so insane. I don't ever pass up an opportunity to fuck with them or Yankees fans. Fuck them, all of them. Oh, nobody showed up to your games this week. Yeah, I'm posting that shit all over Facebook.
Yes, look, they did, Scott. Announced attendance was 47,000 for that game, okay? I don't know what you're talking about.
Announced attendance. who counted the people? Trump's guys? And Trump's guys count how many people were there? The inauguration folks.
Crowd. The biggest crowd we've ever seen. Okay, hold on, wait. If we're going to do that, hang on. Let's do this correct.
Here's the pitch. Oh, shit.
If you didn't see the picture, the Yankees had their final homestand. There was like 12 people in the crowd. The season has been a disaster, complete failure by all accounts. There was like 12 people sitting there, and they came on the speaker. Were like, today's attendance, 47,312. And you hear a round of applause from the dozen of fans sitting in the stands. There are more people watching this show right now than were in Yankee Stadium in that picture.
That's new low, New York. It's a new low for you motherfuckers.
We'll get
back. I'll drink and tap dance to that. I think it was very fitting that it happened against Arizona too. Like, oh man, remember Arizona in the 0-2 series? Oh, that was a heartbreaker too. Here we are, 23, still breaking hearts. Fuckers.
We'll get back to baseball. Let's get back to football. So Tyson asked, Mike, have you tried not liking shitty teams? I haven't. Being a Bears fan sucks too, bro. The Bears. Yikes. Listen, it's bad when the TV cuts away from your game, when CBS is like,
yeah, man,
you've seen enough. We're cutting away.
That's a bad feeling. You're a Bengals fan. That's definitely happened to you.
I've been at the point where I haven't been able to watch the game because of blockout rules and there weren't enough fans in the stands. And they didn't even show the game. Like, CBS was like, you don't deserve this because your team is that shitty that they didn't even sell out the stadium. So you don't even get to watch this. But yeah, what's worse? Okay, hang on. What's worse? You don't even, and obviously things have changed, right? Blackout rules aren't the same as they used to be. But previous blackout rules were, if you don't sell out the stadium, you don't get to watch it on TV. Or having the TV cut away to something else in the middle of your game. What's the worst scenario?
Cut away. I've been cut away from before. I've been sitting there watching. It's like, and back when the Niners weren't good and there'd be that one game that would get broadcast here because they weren't getting national broadcast and regionally, like the stars had to super align for them to beat the fucking matchup that got shown in Cincinnati. And then they get their asses kicked and they'd be like, all right, well, we're going to cut over to this other fucking game. And I'm like, God damn, I get to see my team on TV one time a season without having to go through illegal internet means. And they get cut away from because they're fucking terrible. Dude, that's a real shit feeling. I'm like, damn, man, I'm like the only person watching this in this time zone, aren't I?
But like, in a way, they're kind of putting you out of your misery, right? Like, they're like,
I know, but no, you're not going to do this. I never get to see them. Like,
it's going to ruin your day. We're going to help you out here. Here's Young Sheldon.
It's Big Bang Theory later on tonight at 7 o'clock. Brand new episode.
Yeah, because this is before Young Sheldon. I mean, this is, you know, this is right out of college. So back in 07, those years, it's just, you know.
All right, rough, we're gonna, man, listen, this game's rough, so we're going to take you to How I Met Your Mother, now in progress.
Now in progress, oh, God.
Oh. You don't even get to see the full show. You just get the second, you get like the half of the game where your team just gets the shit kicked out of them, and then half of the shitty sitcom that they put on to fill the rest of the
God, time. Yeah. Awful. Awful.
Robert said, imagine being a fan of the winning team and they cut away. Sheesh. That's true. That's got
I've had that happen too. That's happened within the last couple of years. Again, we're in that area where it's like, they're not going to show Niners games otherwise if they can cut to something else. They've been beating the shit out of somebody. It's like, all right, well, we're going over. And I'm like, no, fuck that. There's another half of football. Like, I want to watch its ass whooping. Get fucked. Nobody wants to watch Minnesota.
Boy, what a collapse that was from Minnesota. They're not good, man. Kirk Cousins.
Who knows?
I know, right? Everybody wants to try to make it. I feel like football fans have been gaslighting us for years. Like, actually, Kirk Cousins, not that bad, guys.
Not me. Not that bad. I've never bought into that dude. He sucks. I don't want to hear daytime or before four, or whatever the fucking goofy ass thing is about when he plays better. I don't give a shit. I don't want Kirk Cousins anywhere near my football team if I plan to win big games. Fuck that.
He's just a guy that, like...
Stop right there. He's just a guy. That's it. He's a Jag. There's nothing else to be said. He's just a guy who plays quarterback in the NFL, period. End of sentence. That's it. Nothing special about him otherwise.
It literally looks like Kirk Cousins would come up to you at the barbecue and try to tell you like when to flip the burgers. Like, that's the kind of vibe I get off of Kirk Cousins. It's just like that guy that you're like, oh, fuck this. Nobody told me Kirk was coming. And then he comes over and he's like, hey, man, I think that one's done. You're like, fuck you, Kirk, you son of a bitch.
It's okay if I say it when I'm rapping along with the words, right? Like, it's cool then, right? No, Kirk, like, no. I mean, I just wanted to make sure, like, I don't do that, but I just want to make sure, like, if we were rapping along, like, it would be okay. Like, no, fuck you, Kirk. You don't get to use that word, bitch. You're just here because you're dating my sister. Like, the fuck out of here.
Jared said Kirk is a product of garbage.
His entire career.
Matt Barr pointing out Minnesota was 11-0 in one score games last year. They're just regressing to the mean. It happens to one team every year. So that's very fair. Gabe says game of the week, Panthers versus Vikings.
Yes. God.
Dyson said Kirk Cousins has intangibles. He says Kirk does things that don't appear on the stat sheet.
He does.
He says he plays the game the right way. Matt Barr said Kirk is your wife's friend's husband that you're forced to hang out with.
Yes.
That's so accurate.
Yes.
And Rex said Kirk would be like you not smoking that in the Traeger stand. Caesar's here. Caesar, what's up, man?
What up, yo? What's up, my boys? What's up, gangers?
It's good to see you, bud.
Yeah, that garage door was a bitch to fix, but we fixed it, so here I am. I did not think such enough fucking
suspension. You were helping out your grandpa, man. Come on. That's all.
Yeah, that's my dog,
it was a worthy cause.
For it's L. All good. I mean, until Caesar, he like lives, right? But still, that's my dog for L.
Yes.
Caesar, yeah. I don't know if you caught, since you were working on the garage door, I don't know if you caught the opening of the show, but we're trying to figure out who had the worst sports weekend this weekend. It was either me with Notre Dame losing to Ohio State by 1 yard with 10 men on the field. It could have been you with...
Oh, hell no, bro. Arizona, go pantomime?
Beating... He's calling for the camera.
Hey.
Like there's 64%
this week on props. Went up to 200 units because my units are $1. Just then you know. Props went 64% parlays on Sleeper. Cessonated.com will make you money.
We got to get this website up and running. Okay, but it could have been you because the Cowboys lost to the tanking Cardinals. But hey, it also
1-10 against the Cardinals in the last 11 meetings. We just don't beat the Cardinals.
Caesar, relax. Relax, because it also could be Scott, who had to coach a Little League baseball game in baseball fans. So it could have been him.
My guy's like, fuck, the fuck I do here now. Hey, run, son. The only thing that sucks about that is you can't be watching the games. Other than that, you're just telling motherfuckers to run. Scott, hey, if that's your son in the helmet, hard.
Yes, hard. It is, by the
that's
way.
That's hard. That helmet's hard. Badass. What are we talking about, bro? I wear camo like every other week.
I was distracted by Scott's baseball pants. I didn't even see the camo.
No, bro, that fit is hard.
That is amazing.
Hoodie on. He's got like the throwback. I know it's just with normal.
The
hoodie.
Lime green hoodie.
Yeah, bro, that shit's hard. You know how? I don't think y'all are gonna know this reference. I don't think most people know this reference actually. So Kanye Yeezy season 4 had Lil Yachty do the runway like walk, right? And he was the only one in red. He's still like a motherfucker. He looks sick. Your son looks sick. For next time, thanks. For like drip, we should get him like the old school hand warmer where you belt it. Oh, dude, he looks so fire.
Speaking I'm drinking of sick, Caesar,
Sunny D vodka seltzer because that was the first thing I got out of the fridge.
I've wanted to pick that up. Isn't it good?
Dude, deadly. You got to be
does
careful.
Does it taste like Sunny D?
Yeah.
Does it? Yeah. See, that's what I was afraid of.
It's like watered really down. You know, like when you mix water, ice and fucking Sunny D.
Yeah.
Like the ending of that. That's what it tastes like.
Mm, yeah. I've got to get some of those.
I need to find that. Caesar, by the way, Gabe said sick Texas.
Oh,
ass.
Thank you. It's all. This is the Alumni Association. Shout out all my Texas exes out there. It's probably just me, but
no. How is Abuelo?
He's a dog, forever running. Stage 4 stomach cancer. Suck my dick. We're dogs. We run this shit forever until he decides to call it quits, right? But till then, forever. For L.
On his terms, right? On
yes,
his
sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Scott, Rob said, Robert Taylor said, wait, Scott was coaching? I thought he was another player.
Ah, that's a T. That's a T. That's a T.
Thank you. Thank you.
Coming hot today. He said he was coming in hot. I dig this. And then Tyson, here you go, Scott. You'll like this one. Tyson said Scott shouldn't be allowed around kids in baseball pants. He's going to scare some of those single moms with the meat he's packing. So there you go, man. You're packing meat.
Hey, growers are fine. I'm a grower.
Nobody said anything about growing. He said packing.
You couldn't, see anything in the pants.
Wow. Oh,
Jesus, shit. Oh.
Wow, that just happened.
Hey, bro, me too. If I stand there, you're not going to see shit. It's going to look fucking invisible. And God, that's not because my pants are camo.
Damn.
You're just not going to see anything.
Oof. Fuck.
Ooh-wee. So, you Usher's headlining the Super Bowl halftime show. How about that?
Bro, what, bro? Is that 2007?
Whoa. This motherfucker's flagrant. Coming
no,
in
flagrant.
That's
not flagrant. That's maybe like a fucking hard foul in the paint.
Give him a red card. Red card.
Yeah. Hell no. If anything, it's a green card. One.
Red.
Ooh, guys, we need to start giving out cards on the show. We need to drop with cards so that we can give people yellow cards.
I think the NBA's foul system is better. If you got the T's like what Robert just did there. I maybe got like a flagrant one for the meat comment. yeah, flagrant one, flagrant two, like you get like a ban for like 15 minutes. You get 2 T's, you're done. No comments, rest of the show.
All right, guys, hold on because Caesar might have some reinforcements in the comments because Matt Barr said Usher is a terrible choice.
Bullshit.
Wake me up when Lil Jon and Luda show up. Dude, they probably will.
They
like,
will.
That's the thing. Usher,
fans are going to.
Yeah, Usher has so many connections. Like, yeah. There's so many in that Usher.
And so many features. Like, all the features. Usher's done featured with everybody. Like, who hasn't featured with Usher? Fuck out of here.
It's okay, just hard. Scott. Like, who represents Vegas like that, though? That's what I'm trying to think of.
I mean, we talked about this. It's going to be Usher and Blue Man Group. That's going to be the...
No, dude, that's probably a fucking... Let me check Bovada real quick. Bovada, Blue Man...
Okay, Blue but in Rock. All seriousness, the one downside to having Usher is you know Bieber is going to show up. Like, Bieber is going to be...
Bro, Bieber's got some bangers. I'm not going to lie. Baby trash, but he's got some bangers.
Also, I mean... need Matt Barr to stop throwing dirt on Usher's name. Like, Usher doesn't have all the bangers on his solo shit. Like, get the fuck out of here with that take. That's bullshit. That's
Beyonce being overrated is kind of crazy, too.
No, Beyonce is overrated, but Usher is definitely not.
Scott, does this halftime show start off with Usher a cappella saying it's 7 o'clock?
Yes, you're right. Yep, yep, yep. It has to. It fucking has to.
The lights go out. It's pitch black. All of a sudden, you just see a spotlight shadow of Usher, and you just hear it's 7 o'clock on the dot. I'm in my job. Yes. And then everybody would fucking lose it. Oh, yes. Man. Listen. I know a lot of people are hating on this pick, but I love
it. I don't know those people, and fuck all of those people. This is a fantastic pick. Fantastic pick. Like, I'm super hyped for this shit. Like,
I can't think of again, who Las Vegas would pick, though.
I'm telling you, if the Niners aren't playing in the Super Bowl for some fucking reason, and even if they are, when the halftime show comes on, everybody better shut the fuck up.
Oh, I'm definitely going to have money on that shit. I do every year.
I am trying to watch the Usher show. That's all I got to say.
So what would you say would be the favorite for first song? I'm already scouting.
Are you trying to line up your picks for the bet? Is that
Last year, Rihanna's ending the song with Shine Bright Like a Diamond saved my fucking Super Bowl. That and actually the fucking fraudulent Super Bowl run team in the Eagles made me a bunch of fucking money that day. It was a lot of fun.
By the way, Caesar, you asked who else represents Vegas. There's a few bands that represent Vegas that come from Vegas. Panic at the Disco is one. The Killers is one.
Oh, that's hard.
Imagine Dragons is one.
Imagine
but I don't
Dragons
think...
is fucking nuts. And then? Sorry. Had to.
But I feel like Usher has more appeal.
Usher's like the last like big time R&B artist, like R&B, like when it was R&B, not like the bullshit that they try to pay it off now as R&B. Like, he's the last R&B 90s like big time solo act. Like, fuck all you haters. That's all I got for you is fuck all of you. This is
the auxiliary component would be fire though. Imagine like Circus LA, the fucking bitch comes swinging on the fucking rope, and then you got the Blue Man Group drums fucking
dance his ass off. It's gonna be fucking amazing.
It'd be like, crazy.
That's gonna be the best part is the dance.
Yes,
Usher's dancing is
unfucking touched, but it's like him and
Chris
Michael
Brown's
Jackson.
A great dancer. Like, I just so yeah, I just don't
Chris
support
Brown's
abusers.
Up there too. Well, yeah, well, there's that. Good thing is Breezy won't be at the Super Bowl. I can tell you that.
No, I'm just saying his dancing's up there. Like, have you seen the video?
Oh yeah, no.
It's March Madness.
His dancing is amazing, but yeah, he ain't gonna be brought out at the Super
Bowl. Oh hell no, fuck that guy.
I love that Sarah is chiming in with artists from Las Vegas like Cher and Donny Osmond. Can you imagine if the NFL was like, all right, everybody, this year's Super Bowl, we got a big surprise headlining the Super Bowl. Donny Osmond, and everybody was like, what the fuck is Donny Osmond? Explain to the TikTok generation who Donny Osmond was. That would have been
well, amazing. You damn near have to explain to him who Usher is. It's a goddamn shame. Fuck.
Jared said Young Jeezy inbound. All right, there you go. And then Rex said, you want to hear the Blue Man Group and Usher do Lovers and Friends.
Yeah.
Tyson said he's indifferent about Usher. I kind of don't care about him at all.
It's because I think Usher came out when the Super Bowl was at AT&T Stadium. Like, he came down the fucking mega screen, mega board, Jumbotron when the Black Eyed Peas did it. I guess that's why I'm assuming he'd already did it. But I can't think of anyone else. I mean, I'm pretty sure I can, but like, of everyone I know is touring right now, so there's not that many options.
Everybody's on tour, so there's nobody to guest with Usher at the Super Bowl. Sorry, bro, I can't make it. I'll be touring during the Super Bowl.
Like, I can't. I'm trying to think of like who's on top of the world right now in terms of artistry. Like, Taylor Swift's not gonna show up.
Nah, man, fuck that. They need to just do it like they did last year. Just bring out the OGs. Like, I want Jermaine Dupri to pop up.
Well, last year's Rihanna. You're talking about when the fucking Mount Westmore or some shit like that.
Mount Westmore.
Yes, yeah, when it was fucking Ice Cube, Dre.
It was the Dr. Dre lineup.
I never heard of that, but I like that. I like that. That'll work. But yes, I need that. Like, I just need a bunch of people from our generation. Like, you just need to throw out everything. Oh shit, it's Blackstreet. Like, just turn it to an R&B festival.
Hey, this might Blackstreet. Help the fucking.
Okay, Scott, we talked about the potential for boy bands, right? That was like the
yeah. So let's turn this to an R&B Super Bowl. Like, Boys to Men comes out. Like, Scott, just hit all the high notes.
Can we get Next popping out singing Too Close during the yes. Super Bowl halftime show?
Yes, we fucking can.
A song about dancing with a boner during the Super Bowl halftime show. Please make it happen. Please yes. make it happen.
Yes. Well, we're there you go. Ohio State, right? This is the potential that Usher brings.
I want
Lovers and Friends. I definitely want Lovers and Friends to come on.
I would like Lovers and Friends. Like,
if you're gonna bring them out for yeah, then you might as well do Lovers and Friends too.
Scott, you realize this now has the potential, because what started the white motherfucker segment was Anniversary by Tony, and if this yes. becomes an R&B group Super Bowl halftime show, we can resurrect the true white motherfucker question of the week and bring it all the way back. We were ahead of our time.
Oh,
again,
shit. Scott. Here comes Brian McKnight. Oh, no.
Birds in the Trap Scene, Brian McKnight. Percocet and Code. Why do I know that name?
Why do I know that name, Brian God. McKnight?
Are you Evan Scott said in the song.
Are you kidding
why me? Why do I know that name? Let me Google.
Yeah, Travis Scott said in the song, Birds in the Trap Scene, Brad McKnight, Percocet and Codeine, Please Don't Take My Life. Oh, he's got a white wife. Let's go, bro. Good shit. You're doing what all us minorities want to do, my boy. Good shit. Brian Kelly McKnight. What a great name.
Oh, my God, dude.
16 Grammys? Oh, shit.
Why do I know that name? Oh, Travis Scott mentioned it in passing. Oh, yeah, it turns out he's got 16 Grammys.
Damn.
Just a little side artist.
Why do I know that name? Oh, because he's behind every R&B song ever written in the history of R&B.
Him and Babyface.
Like, yes.
There it is. You know what's the craziest part? Like, everything.
You say Babyface, and my mind immediately went to Babyface Ray, the fucking Detroit rapper.
Oh my god damn it.
Like, baby.
Move this man! Move!
Like, baby, like fucking puts any respect on my name. That guy? Birdman?
Yeah, no. Oh. No, not that baby. Not Please Say the Baby.
Oh, he sang with Motown. This guy was a dog. Well, he's a dog. He's still alive.
Or have we moved on from Brian McKnight to
Babyface? Oh, yeah,
Baby
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or are we still on Brian McKnight?
Oh, wait till he looks up Babyface. I can't wait to see this one. Caesar, Google Babyface and see what Babyface is behind, because it's every song you've ever heard.
Yeah, Babyface, I was going to say all of them. Oh, my God, dude.
Well, wait, is that what Lionel Richie looks like? Lionel Richie.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Lionel Richie.
Who cares?
Oh, wait, what? Who is Babyface Kardashians?
Oh, God.
All right, we're switching gears. Let's get back to football talk. Scott, when I wasn't watching football on Sunday.
God damn, 12? Grammys? Good shit, Babyface or Kenneth? I felt weird calling another man fucking Babyface.
Games at Caesar has no culture. It's
no culture, bro. I'm for the culture. Whoa. Just no old culture, not old.
God. All right, first of all, Sarah culture. Said Next would be great, and I think so too. If they came out and sang Too Close, even just the hook of Too Close, just yeah. so that we could that'd be awesome.
Just so we could reminisce for a second.
Matt said if Seal doesn't show up to sing Kiss from a Rose, I don't want it. Do you think Usher can get Seal out there?
I would think so. Put a white woman out there and Seal will show up.
Hey, look here. He wouldn't be the only one, my guy.
I know. I didn't say he would be. I'm just saying that for sure.
Shit, I'd be right there fucking jumping up and down one of the extras. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. God damn.
fish to drop.
You put some milk in front of me? Shit, I might be lactose intolerant, but it's worth the risk. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you.
Give it to him. Wait, I'm too busy laughing.
Oh. It's a minority me, bro. It's kind of tough, but
oh, it's amazing. I'm very well aware, man. We're speaking the same language.
He's
we're
like, I'm well aware, my boy.
We're speaking the same language, like me, you. Like this isn't an age thing now. Like we're
February and September and January.
This spans the generations. It seems we don't have to connect on Usher and '90s R&B to know, like, hey, we still.
You
see
put some snow out there. You put yes. a little bit of milk, and everyone starts skiing and fucking drowning themselves. That's crazy too, because they treat us like shit back in the day.
Yeah, still do for the most part.
That's true. That's true. This is for the ancestors.
So the Dolphins put up 70 this weekend, guys. That's crazy. Oh huh?
Speaking of how minorities treat white people, yeah, they fucked them, bro. The Dolphins did some crazy ass shit to him.
Oh my god, dude. What an embarrassing way to lose. Seriously. 70 fucking points. 70.
And the worst was McDaniel said that he asked the team, and the team didn't want to go for the field goal that would have set the NFL scoring record. Because the scoring record is 72, but the team was like, no, don't do it. We'll stay at 70. They could have kicked the field goal and had the scoring record. So they actually took their foot off the gas at 70. They were like, no, that's enough. Sean Payton's had enough over there.
Dude.
And then
like, I know we hate fantasy talk, but bro, the third running back on the fucking Dolphins had 50 points. 50. That's fucking insane. I scored 70. Like,
that's insane.
50. Well, 49.8, but 50.
So my question is, and I know the Dolphins are like extremely fast. Tua's playing really well. They got an insane receiving core. Their O-line is improved. Are the Dolphins this good, or are the Broncos that bad?
Free Sertan. Free Pat Sertan. Please get him out of there. Please. Marvin Mims, hold out. I know you just got drafted. Hold out. My guy. Denver is not the place to be other than you if you're a stoner, because fuck, bro. Trash. You got Mr. Unlimited over here fucking throwing dog shit to the floor. I don't know who I want more, Zach Wilson or Russell Wilson. That's an hyperbole. I prefer Russell Wilson. You can pen off me. I fucked up there.
I was just going to let it go and see how long you talked.
That's what I was going for. I was just like, I'm just going to let this ride. Like,
just lay out. Yep, let's see it roll.
Not like the fucking Dolphins. What happened to Let's Ride, Broncos country? Shit.
So that's in all seriousness.
I think the worst part is not even that. It's the fact that last year they had a really competent defense. It was because they couldn't score is why they lost all those fucking games. The defense was fine. Like, how in the world has it gotten this bad 3 weeks into this season? 70 goddamn points? Holy
shit. Mike McDaniel, like real shit, real like ball shit. I know that phrase sounds like I'm going to start saying spewing bullshit, but Mike McDaniel found the one untapped talent, I guess, asset that the NFL hasn't really tapped into, and that's short, fast motherfuckers. Jalen Waddle, max 6 feet tall. Tyreek Hill, max 5'11. A-Chain, max 5'11. Mostert, same shit. Bro, they're running all over the fucking place, and Pat Sertan, who's arguably the best corner of the league, doesn't know what the fuck to do. And you got Tua not dying, delivering good, accurate passes when he needs to. I think football is becoming positionless, honestly. Like how basketball was, and now it's like a thing where you could run fucking Jokic at the one type shit. But, dude.
Pause right there, because I want to see this through. I want now football to be positionless, because I want a 300-pound offensive lineman lining up at quarterback and taking a wildcat snap at the goal.
Damn, you're running 4-5 already.
I want real life NFL street. God damn it.
Yes.
You just pick guys and everybody lines up wherever they're needed. Fuck it.
I love the idea of completely positionless football. I want the linemen in the backfield. I want the running back at center. I want everybody flipped around. I want complete chaos. It would be amazing. Do it. Sign me up.
And the reason why I bring up positionless is because, I mean, it's only been three games, but thus far in the Dolphins season, who is giving them the most trouble? And that's the Pats defense, because they brought out three fucking safeties and they just had like one of them floating, trying to cover whoever the fuck was doing some crazy shit. I know ball.
You do know ball, Caesar. You know who else knows ball? Jets fans. And they're going through it, man.
We need to free you. I didn't draft you in the second round for fucking nothing.
Did you guys see the Jets fan who was so angry at the Jets and Zach Wilson that he lost his teeth on TV?
What?
Bro,
this dude was yelling so hard at the Jets and at Zach Wilson, so angry, so violent about it, that my man's teeth came out of his face. Whoa, on live dude. TV.
Whoa. The poncho sucks, too. That doesn't help you for shit.
Jesus, man.
If you are listening to this after the live broadcast on the podcast, go to our YouTube channel and find this picture. It is amazing. My God, dude. My man's teeth fell out mid-yell.
They look like chiclets. Like, God, they're so buck.
Well, they're not usually that buck. They're normally in place, and then they just fell out of his face.
Oh, my God, dude. What an embarrassing moment for him. I mean, he starts being a Jets fan, and then that, like, fuck. If it wasn't enough being a Jets fan. Like,
I feel like being a Jets fan is being like a Cowboys fan. You're kind of just born into it, and you're forced to do it.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of truth to that.
I would probably agree with that. It's like being a Notre Dame fan. You just become a Notre Dame fan, and then you suffer through it for the rest of your life.
Why do you think you won
when he pronounces his S's? What did you say, Caesar? I'm sorry.
Lou Holtz just responded to Ryan Day's comments, and he said, "Well, I think Notre Dame won the game," or however the
do
fuck
it correctly.
Do I don't know. I can't do a lisp. I just sound like I'm making fun of like speech impediment people.
That's kind of what everybody's doing when they do the little whole
thing. That's fucked up. I'm not ableist. Maybe misogynist when my friends say my humor doesn't hit, but I'm not that either.
Yeah, Lou Holtz did respond. And
how do you do it? I'll try to cook it up.
You just sort of do this. You just get a little spit in the mouth, and you let it sit back in the back of your jaw.
I need
a
practice.
And then you just say things with a lot of S's in them. Like, for example,
Notre Dame football game. I don't know. I can't do that shit, bro.
Whitey's comment, for example, as Lou Holtz would be like, he looks like he whistles when he pronounces his S's.
I just know. I feel like Notre Dame won the football game. Which is crazy because you quite literally lost. There was 10 people on the fucking field.
The University of Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Dog shit. I love you, Mike, but bro, there was 10 people on the fucking field. Twice.
I know, Caesar. Listen, we've covered it. It's hot.
It's bullshit. No. What it is the fans of Notre Dame who are reasonable, not the fucking dickheads. Notre Dame fans and Cowboys fans are one and the same, just different geographically. Yeah. The loud ones, annoying as fuck. The realistic ones, great people.
I've never met a realistic Cowboys fan. Is the problem?
Like, I'm right here.
Oh.
I'm right here.
I was going to say, Caesar's pretty realistic.
That's fair, I guess. I guess that's fine.
I'm very hyperbolic in everything else I speak. But when it comes to my teams, I'm quite realistic.
All right, let's get real. Let's do some realistic stuff. Let's do our wise guys poll for the week because we have had some shakeups, fellas. Let's get the wise guys music.
Oh, my God. We're going to... That's a sneaky pick. They look fucking scary. Just saying.
Washington. Caesar calling out Washington. Let's see where they fall in the Wise Guys top 10 here for week 5.
Listen,
head into the Wise Guys Sportsbook. At number 10, Notre Dame at plus 4,500. Big drop for the Irish. Could have been in the top 4 if they won that game. Instead, barely hanging on to the number 10 spot at plus 4,500. Number 9, we have a tie between Alabama and LSU, both at plus 4,000. Number 8, Oklahoma, plus 3,000. Number 7, Oregon at plus 2,000. Number 6, Washington, plus 1,800. There you go, Caesar. There's That's your value right there. Plus 1,800. Scott, who do you think's at number 5 this week?
Jeez. Wouldn't be Ohio State, Michigan. Ohio State, Michigan, and Georgia will be in the top 4. Oh, it's got to be USC. That's right, USC.
It's USC at plus 1,600. They've been in the number 5 spot now.
I started process elimination. I'm like, oh, wait, that's right. He said last week that USC's been 5 for like ever.
Their odds did go down. They were at plus 1,400. Now they're at plus 1,600. So a slight drop in the odds for USC, but holding firm in that number 5 spot that they've been in for the last 112 weeks in a row. Let's get into our top 4 this week. At number 4, we have a new entry to the Wise Guys Top 10. Penn State coming in at plus 1,400. Penn State after a shutout win over Iowa, which isn't really saying much because of Iowa, they jump up to plus 1,400. At number 3, we have a three-way tie, fellas. Florida State, Texas, and Ohio State, all with plus 800.
So much seeing that.
It is
That's
crazy.
Fucking terrifying. Why is there burnt orange there? That's
plus
so fucking scary.
Odds for your boys, Caesar. Right there with Ohio State. This is where Notre Dame could have been sitting if they had beaten Ohio State. But no, we have to jump all the way to 10. Number 2, Michigan at plus 500. Their odds got a little bit worse. And they got a little bit worse because Georgia's got a little bit better. Went from plus 240 to plus 220 for Georgia at number 1. Big shakeups this week, Scott. That's a crazy Wise Guys poll right there.
Yeah, where the hell did Penn State come from?
Right? They jumped like crazy. I couldn't believe that Penn State jumped up there. I guess they were plus 1,600 the week before.
I was gonna say were they in the top 10? Just like on the far
back? Yeah, they were number 6 last week.
Okay. All right. So I guess it's not that crazy. I guess it's just crazy from the standpoint of like I didn't really think anything of them like coming into the year. So
well, I think that and honestly, their odds haven't been great throughout the year. Like they started off preseason, they were plus 2,200. So they've been under the radar this whole year. I think it's just now that they're looking at it as we've got a three-way race for that side of the Big Ten: Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. Those teams usually all play each other. I don't know what their schedules are this year, but they normally all play each other, and one of them is going to make it to the Big Ten championship. So one of those teams is a solid bet to come out of the Big Ten. So put your money wherever on one of those teams. I still think it's Michigan. I don't think Penn State has a chance against Michigan and Ohio.
Yeah, I was just going to say there's no way they're winning both of those, right? Even if they sneak past one of them?
No, there's no way. Sorry, I'm laughing because Sarah said, is it a top 10 if you include 16 teams? Oh, wait, it must be 10 math. Listen, Sarah, we put the odds. It's top 10 odds to win. That might include 100 teams. I don't know. There were a lot of teams that dropped out too, Scott. Dropping from the rankings completely. You can't even place a bet on these teams right now. Oklahoma State, Michigan State, Pitt, Purdue, Baylor, Texas Tech, SMU, Coastal Carolina,
Texas
Western
Tech,
Kentucky, South Alabama, Appalachian State, and Army. All off the board at draft. Can't place.
Good fucking riddance, Texas Tech. Those fucking scumbags in the fucking preseason. Oh, the road goes through Lubbock. Bro, the only time we go through fucking Lubbock is to get to the fucking mountains and ski in New Mexico. Shut the fuck up. We don't go to Lubbock for other than that. Lubbock my ass, bro.
How do you
these dickheads this whole fucking offseason? Oh, yeah, we're gonna fucking storm the Big 12 this year, bro. You lost to Wyoming, who we chalked by like fucking spotted them 27 points. Bro, and Wyoming's nasty. No disrespect to them, but they lost to them.
100,000 odds for Wyoming.
They still have odds, and Texas Tech doesn't.
Well, that's the crazy. That's what I was going to ask you guys. So Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, Michigan State, cannot bet on them. They are off the board at DraftKings, but these teams still have odds on DraftKings.
Appreciate it. You caught it.
Georgia State at plus.
Dude, USA, let's go. Oh, that's
Texas State at plus 100,000. Damn. Rutgers is still on the board, and Michigan State is not. That's demoralizing if you're a team and you look up and Rutgers. You could still bet on Rutgers to win the national championship, but not your team.
Rutgers is better than Texas Tech. Texas Tech is dog shit. They're dog water. I wouldn't even feed that water to Smokey. Because he'd probably catch some sort of fucking STD. Brett Yormark, I hope you're in fucking Austin when they play against UT. Because I guarantee you it's going to be a fucking pimp slap the whole fucking game. I don't even know if I should go anymore. Fuck you, Brett Yormark. Fucking hope you bring down business. Dude, shut the fuck up. Enjoy your dog shit conference. Fucking hate the Big 12. You know what also pisses me off too?
If I just sat long enough, I knew if I just sat long enough, Caesar was going to be like, you know what? And another thing. He's the guy that just walks out of the room and just goes, and one more thing, you son of a bitch.
No, dude. It's just the Joey McGuire. I don't even know if that's his fucking name. I know that's the movie.
It's Jerry, but go ahead.
Okay, it is Joey McGuire. I was like, oh, fuck, I think I said the movie. Joey McGuire said, the road runs through Lubbock, bro. I don't know. Oh, my God. The only thing that runs through is a fucking interstate. Oh, my God. I'm so glad they're dog shit.
Matt Barr said, if someone who has driven through Texas, that's a bar season.
Thank you. The best, I'm pretty sure I've said this before. The last time my family and I went to New Mexico for, like, a ski trip, like, on Christmas, we saw a tractor, like in the movies, when they take horses and shit to fucking McDonald's. There was a horse and a tractor at McDonald's. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. That's the best fucking part of Lubbock.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, bro. They can go rot in piss. Rest in piss. Not even rest in peace, in piss. Rip bozo. Fuck all of them. I will say, though, about the Big 12. This Kansas game. No. This is some real dog analysis shit. This is real analysis. I mean,
it's not that it's not. It's just, it's been proven time and time again. It's just like, but you know, there is one more thing.
Kansas is pretty good. Like
you're the sham wild guy, but wait for you.
Yeah, Kansas is looking really good this year. And it's a perfect trap game because we got Oklahoma, those fucking frauds next week. So I'm kind of scared about this week. And if we get through Kansas, we'll get through the rest of the year. I'm done.
Are you though?
Push the mic away.
That's the way to stop the addiction.
They piss me off so much.
If I take the pipe away, I can't smoke crack.
Shout out to Cops. I saw a compilation recently of funniest like cop pullovers in the show Cops, and there was a bunch of them. Is there needles in your pocket,
sir? Wait. When you say this though. Like, is this a compilation of, like, all cops? Or is this cops within the last, like, 15 years? I know at some point they stopped doing it, but I'm like, is this, like, all-time cops? Because that's this thing that came out when we were kids, and that shit used to be, like, must-see TV.
No, yeah, it was all cops. Dude, is there any needles?
Is there any needles or anything I should be worried about? This was before cops became, like, you know, racist and super scary on like a national scale.
No,
he just had. I mean, you looked forward to watching cops whoop the shit out of these people running away from him. But I was be like, take off, take off, take off. Yes, he's running. He's gonna get his ass whooped. I used to root for them to take off running, man.
Sarah asking, did he watch the Norwood episode? Oh, that's what I was gonna bring up. My old neighbor, guy lived across the street from me, is a detective in Norwood. And when they were recording in Norwood, he was an officer and they were riding with him. And he picked up some dude down near Xavier. And the guy was like, do you have anything on you? And the guy was like, yeah, I got
it. No.
No, this guy was honest. He was like, yeah, I'm turning myself in. I got some baggies. I keistered them. And he was like, you what? And he was like, I keistered them. I put them up my ass. And he said that the cops in the station called him Officer Keister for like months after that episode aired.
Keistered him. That's fantastic.
Ohio versus the world, right?
The cops Norwood episode is fantastic. All right, guys, let's talk a little bit of baseball.
Here's the pitch. Oh, shit.
Oakland.
You, What a craft brewed sports fucking story this was when I heard it.
I can't believe what they did. So if you are not aware, Miguel Cabrera is retiring at the end of this season. So
barely
getting the treatment that all of these big names get when they go around. That's their last time visiting a city. So the team will gift them something as like, hey, this is your last time. We're going to pretend like we liked you or something. And here's a gift.
Yeah, I did always laugh at that. That's just like,
it's so stupid. Like, I hate the teams do this. I hate the retirement tours, but Miggy deserves it. Miggy deserves some praise for what he's done. So Oakland gifts this man a bottle of wine. They hand over a bottle of wine to Miguel Cabrera. The bottle of wine, you would think if you're gifting him a bottle of wine, because it's like California wine country, you would think it would be some special bottle of wine. It's an $80 bottle of wine that you can buy anywhere. It's $80 that you can buy anywhere. That's not the worst part, Caesar. That's not the worst part. Miguel Cabrera is a recovering alcoholic.
They should have got him a dime bag instead. It would have been that hard, aren't they, in Oakland?
Oh my god, dude.
Isn't the camera
the A's, the poverty franchise that is the Oakland A's, gave a recovering alcoholic an $80 bottle of wine as a retirement gift. Scott, when you saw this story, what was your first reaction?
I giggled so hard. It was because it's so A's, like so A's. I don't want to take credit for it, but they were talking about it on national radio earlier, and I was like, maybe they were trying to moneyball this thing, and maybe they thought he aged this wine and eventually it'll be worth a lot of money. Like, they're like, you know, short term, yes, it's a real cheap, shitty gift. But over time, it becomes a vintage wine that then is worth, you know, what a gift about this occasion you would think would be worth, right? Like, oh man, how tone deaf do you got to be? Like, and poor. I think I saw the photo. I'm like, I'm assuming that that's the A's manager, and I'm not even sure who manages the A's these days, standing there presenting him with this bottle of wine. And I'm like, man, you motherfuckers. Because you know it wasn't the manager's call. The manager wasn't like, oh, no, let's go get him an $80 wine. Like, this was an organizational, like, it seems. I'm not throwing any, you know, stones, but it looks like they fucking forgot. Like, I mean, it looks like they were like, oh, shit. It's Miggy's last night. Holy fuck. Crap. What are we going to do? Get the nicest bottle of wine we got in the owner suite. Like, whatever's there. But what if it's not? It doesn't matter. Just whatever the nicest bottle of wine we've got in the owner suite, just get it. And they gave it to him, and they're like, all right, cool, right? Like, we're the A's. Like, nobody's going to fucking notice, right? Like, this reeked of, nobody's gonna find out about this, right? Like, nobody's gonna research it. We're just the fucking A's. Like, nobody, this is just a piss in the wind type thing. Like, this has just happened and la la la. Like, nobody's reporting on these gifts that Miggy's getting anyway. Little did the fucking A's know. God damn, dude. God damn.
Why don't they just give him like a fucking voucher to some casino in Vegas? Aren't they moving anyways?
that would have been hilarious.
They were like, here's a couple poker chips, Miggy. We'll see you next time you come through Vegas.
The best retirement gift amazing. I've seen, other than like the fucking park or parquet that the Celtics gave Kobe when he retired, was in Europe this one time in soccer. Like, this guy for Arsenal was retiring. I forgot who it was. And they gave him a jersey that had like every piece of the jerseys that he's worn throughout his career. Not exactly the jersey that he wore, right? But like the design. So it, like, by the end,
I mean,
of
that's
the,
cool if you wore a lot of jersey styles, I guess.
Yeah, because I mean, they changed. That's what I was going to say. Baseball like, has like the fucking, but I'm saying, like, in baseball, they've worn what, 4 jerseys the past fucking 20 years? That would have been an easy gift to show the longevity of Miggy's career.
Anything would have been better than an $80 bottle of wine. That's the thing. Like, it's the worst possible gift you could get.
Of Miguel Cabrera.
Like, an $80 bottle of wine is like what I would get him. It's like a fan. Like, man, I enjoyed your career, Miggy. Here's a gift that, like, this is the biggest gift I could afford. It's the nicest bottle of wine that I could afford. It's an $80 bottle of wine. Like, Miggy, for me, would be like, holy shit, a fan thought of me. Like, that's amazing.
Or a ticket to a wine tour in Napa.
I really, I really appreciate this. But a fucking major league organization hands you an $80 bottle of wine, I'd be like, holy fuck. Like, what is wrong with you?
Is Butterbeast Butterbean? Is Butterbean still there? Was my fucking question. Is fucking Brent Bean fucking Moneyball Bean still there?
Oh yeah.
Oh like, my god,
Billy Bean.
Is Jonah Hill still there too? Or the character he played?
It's Jonah Hill.
I don't know his name.
Yes, Jonah Hill just in the front office. He just sits there.
Bro, what the fuck? You know what? I'm kind of glad the salary cap exists in the NFL. Because this is poverty on a whole different level. Like, how do you get this far down where you're giving a bottle of wine that some part-timer can afford?
I wish it was, like, something even, like, more ridiculous. Like, I don't know what Oakland's known for food-wise, but if they just got them, like, a to-go cart, a little carton of whatever food they're known for, they're like, ah, here you go. Here's some garlic fries. Nicky, enjoy retirement. Remember us fondly with these garlic fries.
Just break up a bunch of bats and be like, in honor of the amount of broken bats and home runs you've hit here, here's like, a fucking bat we've made like
you,
up.
You want to eat those soon, Miggy. When they get soggy, they're no good. Goddamn, Oakland.
So when it comes to, I know we've had this discussion before, like, where are you going to go and all that shit. But if you're a team whose owner is trash and they don't spend, what the fuck do you do? Are you just like living it? You can't transfer fandoms?
Actually, Rex has a very good question, because that would have been one of the more recent examples. What the hell did the Oakland A's give Jeter? Now I'm curious.
I'm looking it up right now. I got it for you. He got a personalized bottle of Napa Valley wine.
Get the fuck out of here, bro.
And $2 check to Turn 2 Foundation. So in addition to a personalized bottle of wine, he got a $10,002 check.
They absolutely fucking forgot about me.
Yes.
Because at least with Jeter, like, it may have been just a whatever gift, but they put some thought into it. It was not last minute. Like,
this Bleacher Report article ranks that as the seventh best gift that Jeter got when he was retiring. The seventh best.
Ooh, wow.
Eesh. Bro, Miggy Hauser Foundation.
Oh, yeah, it'd be funnier if the foundation was for like alcoholics, like recovering alcoholics, and it's like, thanks.
Regardless of what it is, he's got a foundation. What's his number? Fucking 42. No, that's Jackie Robinson.
They all have a foundation. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, everybody's got
better than a fucking $80 bottle of wine that I could afford. I work at fucking Target.
Well, yeah, but that's the whole thing. Like, yes, like that's what Jeter got, but Miggy didn't even get that. Like, he didn't even get the $10,000 donation. If you asked him, hey, would you rather have this $80 bottle of wine or just a straight up $10,000 donation to your fucking foundation? He'd be like, the $10,000, the foundation is fine. Like, you can keep this $80 bottle of wine. Like, I'm good. I don't even want to put this in my fucking car. Like, that's how shitty this wine is. I don't want to transport this.
I'm re-gifting the bottle of wine that the A's gave me.
But yeah, like, in the stands. Like he tosses it in the stands. Chico, like it's a fucking autographed ball. He's just like, oh, here, you guys want this? Here you go. Like, here, $80 bottle of wine. Like, this is my retirement gift.
Reds just beat the Guardians 11-7, Scott.
All righty.
There's still hope. There's still
make
hope.
Make progress. Make
it the magic number or whatever
Scott,
the fuck that shit's called.
I got a question for you, Scott, because I saw an article from your, let's call it, news outlet, okay? Uh-oh. Because somebody...
Oh, is this the one about Ellie De La Cruz?
Yes, it's the one about Ellie De La Cruz, where some jabroni over there at your station had the nerve to say that Ellie De La Cruz is a bust because he's had a bad September. I was furious when I read that.
Green Day. He wrote a whole song.
There were a lot of people that were furious. You were not the only one. I kind of giggled quite a bit at that one. I was like, ooh, this reeks of not knowing what the fuck you're talking about.
I saw that and I'm like, did this motherfucker just call Ellie De La Cruz a bust? A bust. Yeah. After 1 month of a baseball season where he had a slump. Oh my, I was enraged.
Dude, there were so many people that had took offense to that title. They retitled the article. Instead of Ellie De La Bust, it was like,
oh, that's Ellie... a great title though.
Yeah, and I like,
that's
it was
a great
clever.
Title.
Like, don't get me wrong, the title was clever. It was wrong, and it was really ridiculous to be speculating at this point in his career, but funny. And then they changed it to something else. Like, I can't remember what the hell it is, but there was so much fever. Like, people were so pissed about that title that there was an addendum made to, like, hey, everybody, I saw that you were pissed off, so we changed it. But the fact remains, like, doesn't look good, and, you know, we're saying that he's a bust. Like, it was just like, ooh, you really stepped in it with this one. Like,
did he step in it, though, or is that exactly what you need to do? Because that had to get all the clicks. I would have never clicked on an article that was like, Ellie De La Cruz suffering a slump in September. How will he bounce back next year? I'd be like, he's fine. He's fine. I'd scroll right through.
Ellie De La Bust.
I was like, what the fuck did you just say? I'm reading all of this shit. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You know what? He doesn't even care because he got his click. That's all he cared about. And it worked.
You're everything that's wrong with this whole system.
I know.
When I'm at work arguing that we shouldn't be covering her and talking about the league, and they're all like, nah, this is what people. I'm like, oh, it's a losing battle. Then you prove the right.
But it's true, dude. He said Ellie De La Bust. How am I not supposed to click on that and get enraged by it? I'm a red fan. This man said Ellie De La Cruz is a bust after being in the league for fucking 2 weeks. Are you kidding me right now? Yes, I need to hate read the whole thing, and then I need to read the comments and be like, that guy's right. Fucking Bill, the guy with the Oakleys on, he's right. All right, he's correct in saying that you're an asshole for saying Ellie De La Cruz is a bust.
I like that because the guy Bill. A guy Bill doesn't align with any of your life views otherwise. He's complete opposite with you on every other fucking thing that's important to you. But goddamn right he knows that Ellie De La Cruz ain't a bust. Hell yeah, Bill.
I click on Bill's page and I'm like, ooh, a little... Ooh, this dude, is somebody just putting a step past me on this page, crazy. But he's right about Ellie.
Try being a Braves fan. Every time I make a comment on the section and I get likes, I'm like, I don't know if I want some of these likes. I don't think these people actually like me, but we have a common like of the Braves. I don't know. Sometimes I like to throw them off and have pictures of not me in there just to see, like, if I get more likes. Like, oh, wait, it's a black guy. I think he's got really good points on the Braves, but I don't know if I could like it because he probably voted for that Obama motherfucker.
Like that one movie, Invictus, with Morgan Freeman and Nelson Mandela. Nothing breaks down political and racial barriers like sports.
It's true. It's fucking true.
It is true.
Seriously, like, I try not to think about how many Braves fans are also people that I would never actually spend time with in a room with.
Yep.
It's amazing to me, but Bill in the F-150 with the Oakleys on.
Hey, well, that's something down with the F-150. There's nothing wrong with F-150s. The Oakleys, also nothing wrong with those. But Bill's a crazy political.
No, there's nothing wrong with F-150s. There's nothing wrong with Oakleys. I'm just saying, if you're wearing Oakleys in an F-150 cab and that's your Facebook profile picture,
we got something to talk about.
Okay, I'm making assumptions. I've got some
preconceived notions about it.
And I'm right in 99%. Like, if I click on this picture, I'm going to see something that I will probably go,
Red,
I don't think you should King say that out public ever to somebody.
Red Red Kingdom. Yeah, I feel that.
Oh shit.
As our boy Putin says, Scott, Tevsky Shitsky
said, I didn't know it was PJ. It is. Should I know who that is?
You didn't know who what?
Should I know who that was that wrote that?
What?
Ellie De La Bust.
Oh, should you? No, you know, yeah, I was going to say. Oh, should you? No, no, you. I don't think you would know. But yeah, I mean, okay. He went to Xavier. He was, I know him because I worked with him in the TV station and I worked with him at Channel 9. This is my second time working with him. But like him and I, our schedules aren't like that much aligned. So he's usually coming in when I'm leaving. So we, since he's got back, we've only spoken a few times or whatever, just catching up or whatever. But I came across the article in my news feed, which I rarely ever click on things that don't have anything to do with anything I give a shit about. But I was like, wait a minute. Did this come from us? Who wrote this? Oh, I got to see this. And then I got to the retraction of the title and I'm like, ooh, it's good times. Good times.
Scott, I didn't realize. I'm pulling it up because holy shit. So the article is now headlined Ellie De La Bench.
Yes. Yes. That's what I said. Like I got changed. Player in
baseball. The electricity has dulled to a spark. And then it says, this article was updated after a massive amount of.
That's what I'm telling you. This is the only time I saw it was this. Yes. All I saw was the update. I told you. Like, people were pissed.
When you said that, I didn't realize they called it out in the article. Like, yes.
No. They did a whole retraction and we're like,
no, you don't do that.
People got mad at us. People got mad at us. We didn't mean it. Like, he's not a bust. It's just.
He shouldn't have capped on himself and should have just kept the fucking article name up.
Well, that's the bullet.
You bite the bullet.
You bite
the bullet. Scott, now I'm even more mad.
You
put it out there. Stand by your fucking take. Don't back down because people on Twitter were mean to you. Bro, listen, tell Bill in his F-150 to fuck off that Ellie's a goddamn bust. That's what you got to do. That's how you make a name for yourself in this business.
Next week, you come in saying he's selfish and all he cares about is his style and his flair, that he's not a team player. Bro, I could go on and on. Do I believe that? Hell no. But if it's going to get me clicks and up my check, shit, I'm setting myself out with a fucking sign that's saying Ellie De La Bust.
There it is, Scott. Get them clicks.
Hell yeah, baby. Clicks. That's all you can do. Get them clicks. That some of us are out there trying to get wins. Yeah, well, I mean, but for real, though, we just trying to get clicks. Like, I don't give a fuck.
I just want all the clicks. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Next week, tell him to say that he's selfish and that he just cares about his flair and his jewelry and his style, that he's not a team player. Bro, I've already written the guy's article.
Listen, if we get the clicks, I'll say Ellie's a bust. Okay, if it gets us clicks, I'll say it.
But no, you can't say that. You know, you go for the Reds. The one thing I value above all else is loyalty.
That builds credibility, Caesar. It makes it seem like Reds fans think Ellie's a bust at that point. Let's talk about these beers that we were drinking tonight. I just realized what time it was. Scott, what were you drinking? Would you bang it?
I was drinking the Great Pumpkin by Heavy Seas Beer Company, 10% pumpkin beer brewed in fucking bourbon barrel ales. Like, I mean, there's nothing else to say. There's nothing scary about it except for how kind of like lit I got off of like half a beer. I was like, wow, this 10% ain't no joke. Yeah, like it hit me pretty fast. So I barely finished the second one, a 100% doing her. Ishtalet.
Caesar, what were you drinking? Would you bang it?
Today I drank a Sunny D vodka seltzer. I prefer this in the morning, but I drank it because I was hauling ass trying to turn the camera on. But it's great. It's a fucking great seltzer. It's probably got no sugar in it, which I find hard to believe, but it's amazing. They're expensive as fuck, but they're great.
I would definitely. I need to get one of those. I've seen them in the store. I've been afraid to pull the trigger on it, but now I feel like I could do it.
It tastes like the ice and the water. Like the Sunny D and ice portion where it's like water.
Yeah,
down,
I was afraid too. I was like, I bet that's not good. But now this endorsement, I'm kind of mad that I passed it up all damn summer. Because I saw it a bunch, but I just didn't bring myself to do.
That's the thing. I don't know.
I've tried way worse seltzers. Way worse. It's nowhere near as good.
All right, I was drinking Rheingeist Cheetah Lager in honor of the Bengals finally getting their first win. This one's good. It's fine.
Hey, shout out Joe Mixon for not catching more than five passes. Thank you, my boy. You made me money.
Says yeah, God damn it, Kyren Williams. Because I had Joe Mixon, Kyren Williams, anytime touchdown scores on the parlay, and fucking Kyren.
That wasn't on. That was not on Kyren. Matt Stafford threw the fucking ball at his dick.
Hey, I played against Tua. Enough said.
Did you play against A-Chain or Mostert?
I played against Tua, and I played against what's his name in fucking San Diego?
Keenan Allen.
Yes, Keenan Allen. Oh, yes, the two of them.
Oh my God, you lost to like 1,000,000,000 points.
Thank you. I logged in because I didn't know who I was playing against, and I logged in Sunday night. I'm like, I know Hurst doesn't play till Monday night. Let's just see what the score is. And I had no idea what happened.
Fucking a billion to 76.
I looked at the score and I was like, huh, that seems lopsided. I log in, I'm like, Tua had 38. Oh, that's cool. Scroll down. I'm like, wait a minute. Who the hell else had 38? Oh, Keenan Allen. All right. So what you're saying is I never stood a chance. Okay, cool. I closed the app. I was like, I don't need to worry about my quarterback playing tomorrow night. It doesn't matter unless he's going to score 100.
One wasn't put in one day.
Sorry for your loss, Scott.
Well, Bin Laden might be murky and muddy right now, but tomorrow is a brighter future.
That was the worst beat than my baseball pants, goddammit.
That's amazing. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Be sure to follow the show at Crafty Sports on Twitter or X or whatever, and on Instagram. Sub to the YouTube page. Also, join the Facebook group. All the people you see commenting throughout the night on the show are in that Facebook group. It's a good time. Everybody has fun. Go do that. Hit us up. Also, subscribe, rate, review wherever you get your podcasts. Go throw a like on this video on YouTube so that it boosts us in the algorithm. We want to get the word out on this show. We want to increase these numbers. So help us out. Throw a like and hit that bell. Hit that subscribe button. Shout out Belly Up Sports, bellyupsports.com. Tons of great content there at Belly Up Sports. And shout out to all of the pods on the Belly Up Sports Media Network. Go sub and rate and review to all of those. We will see you guys next week. Cheers, everybody.
Love all of you noogas.
Right now.